Welcome students to the session of managerial economics, and today we are on the last part of this subject with chapter 16 titled as glimpses of macroeconomic environment and input output analysis. We had started with what the subject of managerial economics is, taking you to demand, picking up supply on the way, understanding the demand and supply interaction in market, how market behavior influences individual companies' behavior, how they decide their pricing methods. Then from there we took you to the various theories of Schumpeter to Walker about how profit is a reward for entrepreneur, and finally how a business firm has to budget its resources with respect to time, where project planning plays a very important role. But as we know that even though we are studying about the theory of business firm in our subject managerial economics, we cannot keep any firm working in isolation from the rest of the economy. And therefore, it's very important to have a glimpse of what the macroeconomic environment is about, especially the environment lying outside the business firm, and how it can influence the behavior of individual managers working in their cabins in individual firms. So let us begin with this chapter on macroeconomic environment. The very first thing we are going to study in macroeconomic is business cycle, because yes, we are studying about businesses and how businesses grow and expand. It's very important for us to understand business cycle. Business cycle is the upswing and downswing in the level of business activity, which is marked as different phases of trade cycle. A business cycle is popularly called as trade cycle. A trade cycle is nothing but the boom and the depression, the ups and downs in any business economic activity. We say that business cycle is a wave-like movement. It is pervasive, cumulative, self-enforcing. Here we are trying to connect it with the name, a very popular name in business cycle of an economist, J.M. Keynes. J.M. Keynes has written a lot of business cycle. In fact, before J.M. Keynes, the classical thinkers always believed that economy will always take its own course. Whenever there is any downfall in the business economic activity, it will automatically be corrected by the forces of the economy. So there is no need of framing any policy. But this view of the classical thinkers actually was proved to be wrong with the Great Depression affecting United States in 1930s. That was a time when the economy did not self-correct itself, and the depression kept on increasing for a prolonged period of time. That was the time when J.M. Keynes started writing on business cycle. He believed that business cycle are the ups and downs, and there are definitely times when government has to interfere in the free market forces. But before that, let us understand how he graphically understood business cycle of an economy. He brought before us this graph, which says that a business cycle is like a peak and a trough. He said the peak period will be the time in which the economic activities in the economy will be at the highest level, which was declared as the peak period. And then he brought us to a trough. Trough is the lowest level of business activity. What is the difference between the peak and trough is the business cycle. So we have to actually understand how the business activity moves from peak to the trough. He believed that anything which goes up has to come down, and it will not remain down for a long period of time. There will be forces which will pull it up towards the peak. He divided this into different phases, and he brought this graph into four phases: phase 1, phase 2, phase 3 and phase 4. There was an equilibrium line which was drawn, that is EE, which is a horizontal line, and this horizontal line divides a whole business cycle into phases. phase 1, it is moving towards the peak. So it will be called as the prosperity phase. The moment it reaches the peak, it will settle down. The economic activity will become constant. It will be the highest level of price ever reached. Inflation will be at the highest. You can say that this is the time in which the employment will be at the highest, rate of interest will be the highest, all the macroeconomic variables which we are discussing, from price to interest rate to investment, profits, employment, income, output, etc., will be reaching the highest level. Once it reaches the highest level, there will be certain bottlenecks. Bottlenecks are what? They are scarcity of resources. The moment there are scarcity of resources, there will be a fall in the economic activity. This fall will be the phase 2, which will be called as recession. The recession, if it is not controlled, and recession keeps on prolonging for n number of years, it will eventually lead to depression. So depression is the phase 3. It is the phase where uncontrolled recession gives way to depression. It is a time in which the overall business activity will start reaching the lowest level, which is your trough, moving towards the trough. Lowest level of price, profits have become zero or nil, stock markets have started crashing, investments are not taking place, there is no purchasing power in the hands of the people, so there is a total lack of demand in the market. This is the worst phase of economic activity, and yes, United States was definitely facing the phase 3 in 1930s, and the recent depression and recession in United States due to subprime lending by the banks. This is the time which is the worst for any economy. You even have the global crisis which is moving way towards the trough. This is the time where immediately the government policies have to intervene, which are the monetary and the fiscal policies. If these policies in the form of government expenditure starts taking place, it will take the economy to phase 4. Phase 4, which is moving towards equilibrium, is the phase of recovery. So students, please remember this graph. Phase 1 is prosperity because it's moving towards the peak, then followed by recession. If recession goes uncontrolled, it will move towards depression, and depression can be only removed with proper government policy moving towards recovery. So phase 1, 2, 3 and 4. Let us understand in detail about each of these phases in the coming slides. The very first phase we would begin with is the worst, that is depression. It is the lowest level of economic activity reaching the trough of the business cycle. Depression is a state of affairs in which the real consumption or the volume of consumption per head, that means per person's consumption, falls. Because the consumption is falling, production and volume of production falls. Production is always going to affect employment. When employment falls, income will fall. So it's like a cyclical trend. Fall in consumption will lead to fall in production. Fall in production will lead to fall in employment. And when employment falls, the income also falls, further giving a fall to consumption levels. It is characterized by low production, trade, employment, prices, profits. All these are macroeconomic variables, and these variables will be falling. If you look at the trend of profits, they will be falling. Trade will be falling. There is a decline in credit, share prices, construction activity. Recovery. It is characterized by a rise. It's a opposite. It's opposite to depression. In fact, to move out of depression, the right type of government policies are required. And how do we know that the recovery phase has set in? When we see symptoms like rise in employment, it will be a very slow rise. But yes, instead of a fall, now there is a rise in employment, even though it is gradual and very, very small. Income, output, expectations of producers improve. Very, very important variable. There is a pessimism or a pessimistic attitude among the investors, and now they are taking a bold step of making small investment decisions. So, expectations of producers improve. Bank starts lending credit, and when the wave of recovery is initiated, it begins to feed upon itself. When one investment takes place, it automatically brings an increase in investment from the others as well. When the rate at which investment, production, employment, income is increasing, when this rate starts increasing very fast, we say it is a cycle of prosperity, because now the volume of production, trade, employment, income will be increasing at a very large scale and at a very rapid pace. Profits will start becoming double and multiple. Interest rates will start increasing fast, because now the producer class or the business class is very optimistic, so they will start taking more and more loans from the banks. Looking at the demand for loans, interest rate goes up, bank credit expands, investments increase, and there is a whole optimistic behavior running in the economy. But this prosperity will reach a peak. The moment it reaches the peak, if you look at the graph, there is a fall. The most important question that we ask is, why is it not a continuous activity? Why does this boom break? The reason is, there is too much of over optimism, over investment, due to which bottlenecks develop. Overestimation, over demand leads to scarcity of resource, and this is the time when the boom will break. Though incomes increase, the marginal propensity to consume decreases. Even though people have more and more income, they are not going to spend full amount of their income. So somewhere the increase in income is faster, but the increase in demand is slow. Sometimes the increase in demand is very fast, but the supply is not able to keep up pace. So prices start increasing at such a rate that a time comes when people feel the inflation is too high for them to spend money. That is when boom breaks. The moment boom breaks, the downswing begins, which is known as recession. What happens here is, optimism gives way to skepticism. Here you find that there is a whole lot of pessimistic attitude, because now the companies fear they won't get credit, or even if they are availing credit, the rate of interest has gone up. And what happens is, the price at which they were availing the loan or the credit, it becomes very, very high, such that the cost of availing credit becomes greater than the price of finished goods. So companies' percentage cost is higher than the percentage return. Recovery dreams disappear, projects on one hand gets dropped, credit starts curtailing, workers are laid off, unemployment begins, and there is a fall in the construction projects. And we say, yes, when the share price starts falling, it is an oncoming of recession. So these are some of the symptoms we have to notice, observe, for understanding whether the recessionary phase has begun in any business activity. Now, we are all aware that a business cycle consists of depression, recovery, prosperity, recession. It is a continuous activity, it is a recurring activity. The most important thing is that if there is a recession, are there any ways of preventing that recession from moving towards depression? That is where government's policies play a very important role. The very first policy is fiscal policy. It is a policy where government uses its expenditure and revenue programs in such a manner that government increases its expenditure whenever there is recession. And whenever there is prosperity, government will increase its tax. So these are having an effect on the country's national income, production and employment. The two powerful instruments in the government's fiscal policy are public expenditure and public debt. Framing of the budget, that is the tax, during prosperity and inflation, and expending the government expenditure during depression is advisable. Fiscal policy is prepared with the following objectives: resource mobilization, acceleration of economic growth, reducing the inequalities of income, increasing employment, because during recession the employment opportunities fall. So the whole goal of fiscal policy is to generate employment opportunities. Price stability, that is controlling inflation during prosperity. Another tool which the government has along with fiscal policy is monetary policy. Monetary policy is the policy of Reserve Bank of India. It is where the government keeps on changing its interest rate structure, looking at the economic activities. It is the management of expansion or contraction of money and credit supply in the economy. So what the government does, or what the Reserve Bank of India or any other central bank of a country does, is they keep changing the cost of credit, that is CRR, availability of credit, that is through how much the credit supply should be given in order to achieve various macroeconomic objectives such as employment, price stability, economic growth and exchange rate stability. So from time to time, the Reserve Bank of India in India keeps on making changes with its CRR, SLR, reserve requirements in order to control the money supply. However, whenever Reserve Bank of India is framing its policy, it is always found to be confused with two major objectives. One, keeping prices under control, and second, managing full employment. Because when the prices come under control, that is when the inflation is brought under control, it becomes discourages the investor class to invest. Businessmen always like to invest money when the prices are increasing. So there is always a conflict between employment and inflation, which is popularly understood by the Phillips curve. So Phillips curve is explaining us the inverse relation between employment and stable prices. It is said that if the rate of employment is to be reduced, then it is only at the cost of inflation, which is known as the Phillips curve. Now, whenever we discuss about the business cycle, we have to understand that business cycle is full of the macroeconomic variables. Which are these macroeconomic variables which have to be statistically analyzed? That takes us to the indicators of business activity, broadly classified into internal and external. So we have internal indicators and external indicators of economic activity. Let us look at the internal indicators. Internal indicators gives us an idea of what's happening in the domestic economy. They are GDP, employment, index of agricultural and industrial production, price index, cost of living index, savings, investment rate, economic growth. It's very, very important that we keep a trend analysis of what our rate of saving is currently existing. These indicators are very, very useful while framing the monetary policy, the fiscal policy and also the budget. The external indicators are giving you an idea of where your economy stands in the world market. They are the country's exports and imports, balance of payment, capital flows which you get through foreign direct investment, foreign exchange reserves, very, very important for the currency printing. printing of money depends on how much foreign exchange reserve does the central bank has at any given time. Rate of exchange, very, very important for deciding the exports and imports. Depreciation of currency or appreciation and devaluation of currency. Here I would like to tell you students, depreciation is when automatically the value of currency changes due to market fluctuations. But devaluation is when our government deliberately brings down the value of its currency for correcting the balance of payment. So kindly remember, depreciation is a market forced effect on the currency value, whereas devaluation is a deliberate attempt made by the government to correct the balance of payment. Finally, we come to the conclusion of this chapter, which says that the entire economic activity is understood through a very mathematical model, which is known as input-output analysis. Input-output analysis is to understand the interrelationship between the various sectors of the economy. Very, very useful to understand that if there is a recession in one sector, how will it have an effect on any other sector? This matrix is prepared under the analysis that each industry. So, one industry's output is another industry's input. And therefore, how many paise are spent on itself, how many on buying materials from other industries, and how much is the balance spent on labor. We are purely here looking at nothing but the relation between one industry and the other industry. So, one industry's spending is another industry's income. So, therefore, when there is a fall in the spending by one industry, it will bring down the fall in the income of another industry. And this is how we try to understand how a slowdown in one sector will eventually bring a slowdown in its immediately related sector. This concept is based on various assumptions. It is only useful in understanding how the effect of change in final demand on production in one sector will have an effect on the other sector. So, it is nothing but the inter-industry, inter-sectoral input-output relation. So, with that, we have come to the conclusion of this chapter, which tells us that in the macroeconomic environment, there is the first thing to understand how the economic activities keep on changing, how we need to keep a track of internal and various external economic indicators. Therefore, whenever we are talking about issues like global crisis, we have to understand the impact of that on the external economic indicators of any country. Those external economic indicators have an effect on the internal economic indicators because one sector is definitely related with any other sector. So, this chapter is basically throwing light on how macroeconomic changes will at some point affect the microeconomic behavior of individual managers. So, with that, we have successfully completed this chapter. Thank you.